Okay, let's learn on page Yud Beis. The Rebbe in this parak is really getting us ready for and bringing us into the world of his structures, the difference between his pilots and his structures, and his structures hamidis, and which actually in the next parak he begins to step by step to teach us how to develop our karech of his structures. And here the Rebbe is explaining, if you look on Yud Beis, the middle of the page, Me'ata. The Rebbe was explaining that by his structures, there's an excitement that takes place that begins from within the person. The structures hamidas. So he explains, Me'ata, Kvamu chalonu lama kol kach echmiu kudashen ebukam hamidas. We cannot understand why is it that the Chachamim was so machmir, was so worried about a pagam in midas, when there would be something damaged or blemished, something wrong in the midas of a person. Which I'm sure many of you know that Rabbi Chaim Vital asked how it's quite remarkable that you see that the Torah itself does not command us regarding midas. We don't see that the Torah talks about not getting angry, telling us not to get angry. The Torah doesn't tell us to be kind and so on. So Rabbi Chaim Vital asks, how could it be that you don't have in the 613 mitzvahs really mitzvahs that are guiding and regulating the tikkun of our midas? If the midas is so important, how could it be that it's the ikkus chasam nasechel? The Torah doesn't talk about it. The Torah doesn't command us regarding tikkun amidas. So Rabbi Chaim Vital writes that the Torah is only talking to human beings, not to animals. He says that the same kind of a svara that we find by the mitzvah of Amunah, where there's a machlokes rishonim, without going right now into the Rambam and the Ramban and the Bahag and so on, about whether or not Amunah, belief in God, is counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs. Which of course the Rambam does. As Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is one of the 613, the first mitzvah in the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam, is Amunah. Those Rishonim who disagree, the explanation of how could it be that Amunah is not one of the 613 mitzvahs, but the Teretz is that Amunah is a prerequisite to the 613 mitzvahs. If you don't have Amunah, if there's no Amunah, then there's no meaning to the word mitzvah. Mitzvah means that I feel, I understand that there's an obligation to obey the tzivuyim of a mitzvah, the commandments of the one who's commanding. If a person doesn't have Amunah, then he's not in the program. So kadim, you have to have Amunah to be in the program. And after that, then the Baruch Shalom, who you believe in, can tell you to keep Shabbos and put on tefillin and so on. So Rabbi Chaim Vital says the same thing when it comes to tikkun amidus. That doesn't mean the fact that tikkun amidus is not done the 613 mitzvahs does not in any way diminish the significance of the obligation to be mesaken amidus. Other opposite, the opposite. Tikkun amidus is so completely so all inclusive. It's so crucial. In determining whether or not this person bechlal can be an Oved Hashem, that it's not counted on 613 mitzvahs, like Chaim Vital says, because the Baruch Shalom is talking to a man, she's talking to a human being. If a person has midas mishchosas, if a person is not in control of himself, so then he's not able to live a life as a mitzvah. It's a prerequisite to being somebody that observes Torah mitzvahs is to be a Baal midas. It's amazing. So the Rebbe explains here that we see that the Chacham Ramachmir so much in Pagam Hamidus. Vas Machu Agamara Shama Kosha Anshan Shalmidas Manshan Shalarayas. Adkadekach, that Chazal said such a thing that the punishment for Midas that are damage, that punishment is worse than the einish, than the punishment of Arayis, which of course, meaning Averis of Arayis, doesn't mean, God forbid, Lamaisa. We understand that Lamaisa, Gil Arayis, Gilai Raya's, a person is punished for Gilai Raya's, Tikkun HaMidos, we don't see, as I said a moment ago, it's not really in the Torah with an Aseyu, with a love. But what Chazal are telling us, what the Gemara is saying, is that when a person, when there's a particular problem in a person's life, even if it's something which is as difficult as a Raya's, it's so hard to overcome. Yet, it doesn't necessarily reflect upon the etzem of the person and his ability to be an observant person. He's a taiva. And the taiva, he has to overcome the taiva. But when a person, God forbid, is a bal gaiv, is a bal kas, when there's a kilkel in his midas, when he becomes excited over the wrong things, and he has no cheshik for the right things, so the whole kaimus ha'adam, the whole person, is in question. The whole person as a whole is in danger. So it's not just a question of one specific aveira. It's a question of how is this person's entire avodas Hashem going to be affected? What's going to be with him? And Hashem said about a balgaiva, ain't an evil who yichadul mother by lemech, that I can't live in the same world with a balgaiva. That's pretty rough. Even though it doesn't say in the Torah that if you're conceited that you get malchus, or if you're conceited you chayev karis, or if you're conceited you chayev misa. It doesn't say anything about that in the Torah. But it says such a strong lashon that a person who's a mezgoya is a person who's mezgoya is somebody who's a bal gaiva. So the whole tzuras ha'adam, the whole kaimus ha'adam is in question. That Hashem says, I can't live with a guy like that. There's no chiv deraisa that a person should be besimcha. Doesn't say in the Torah that you chayv to be besimcha. And yotiv yisach semech. What that means, there's a specific way of how one demonstrates simcha. It's not talking even about the emotion of simcha. If a person does the right things on yotiv and he fulfills the mitzvahs of yotiv, then he's officially in the category of Ahisach Sameh. Doesn't say that you have to feel happy. And yet if a person, God forbid, is not Besimcha, if a person is somebody who is a Balmarish Chayra, he's a person that's depressed or that's sad, so we know that it's Makakal is entire of Ahis Hashem. It's Makakal everything in his life. He can't be an Eved Hashem. Which is how the Ariya Kaddish is Tachas HaShalayvat HaShem HaKech HaBesimcha Tov Leiva. That the whole Torah depends on Simcha, even though it doesn't say you chayv to be b'simcha. But if a person's heart is closed in such a way, and he's not somebody of Simcha, and he goes instead with a Marash Chayra, so it's like Rabbi Aaron Kalina said on that even though there's something that's, it's not a mitzvah, but all the mitzvahs depend on it. He says that's Simcha. It's not a mitzvah. It doesn't say there's a mitzvah to be b'simcha. But if you're not b'simcha, then the rest of your Yiddishkeit is in question. If you're not besimcha. Same thing he said about atzvos. It's not an aveira. It doesn't say it's an aveira to be said. But if you're over this, but if you're said, then you become vulnerable that all the aveiras of the Torah, become part of you, could potentially become part of your life, chalila. Even though itself it's not an aveira. But it leads to all aveiros. Sadness leads to all aveiros. Joy is not a mitzvah. Simcha is not a mitzvah. But it leads to all mitzvahs. So the Ein of Midas, it's not a question of the Einish, of the punishment for that particular Midah. For not fixing that Midah. The person is a Balkas. Doesn't say in the Torah that you're even a love. The Menichazals, that's all compared to what is. But doesn't say in the Torah that there's no specific love for getting angry. But every intelligent person knows that anger destroys everything else. The Rebbe explains why this isn't Pnimius. Because of what we were learning until now in this parak. Sha'nefesh mezgala b'hisrakshus hamidus. When there's a hisrakshus hamidus, when there is that, when let's say in a positive way, when there's a hisgalus of ahava, when the midah of ahava is excited, When there's a strong emotion of love that's felt, when there's a hisrakshus, we learn that means that the nefesh is mezgala. The person comes into contact with his nefesh. in a very strong way. The soul of a person is drawn out. The soul of a person is exposed, the nefesh. When does his rakshas amidus? It's a question of what he does with that, but when a person feels a strong feeling of love, that pulls the nefesh out from its place of sleep. And once the nefesh has been misaira, there's already his srakshus, his iris of the nefesh. That's the opening to all of Avodas Hashem. That's what Rabbi Aaron Kalina was saying, that simcha itself is not a mitzvah, but all mitzvahs come from simcha. Because simcha is a very powerful way to bring out one's nefesh, to bring out one's soul. That's why over and over, the Rebbe, like all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, speak about this, that if a person is already feeling joy, even if it's a joy over something that's silly, if you're just happy over something good that happened at work or something, you know, something very, very simple, it made you happy, so then you have already his galus and nefesh, then use that happiness in Avodas Hashem, take that feeling and put it into a tefillah, put it into a kabbalah for a mitzvah, put it into a blat gemara, because there's a hezgalus and nefesh. Vayish ayidei shemagel oisan mikatnusay l'sayro l'sragish medivah ha'ilum shtusim v'havolam. You have the sad reality of a person who from an early age, remember, we spoke about this, that a child, naturally, a child's hisragish is going to be over silly things. It's completely healthy and natural. A child gets all crazy, you know, if you bring him a toy, he gets a gewaldig hisragish, and the midah of ahava comes out, and the midah of simcha comes out over what? Over kleinekeit, over silly things, over small things. So from the time that we're in this world, we are used to feeling the hisgalus hanefesh of a kleinekeit, over little things. So what happens if the person continues along that path? That his holis rakshas comes from katnas, from dvarim shel mabekach, from small things. The small thing could be even if you make a deal for $5 million, but it's still about money. It's still about, so what? It's just a lot more expensive than this than the child's hisrakshus, which is over a little toy. So the little toy cost $1.50. So the adult considers himself to be much more chasher than the child. So his hisrakshus is over $1.5 million. But basically, it's the same inyan. It's the same hisrakshus over what? This is galus hanefesh over something which is shlusim havolam, which is narishke, which is nothing. It's from this world. It doesn't mean anything. It has no real eternal value. So the problem is that since from the beginning of our lives, we are in the habit of having his irish and his rakshas mediv ha'olam shtosam v'havolam, over all kinds of narishkeit. So the little kid is all excited about a toy, or is all excited about a lollipop, and he's kicking and flapping his arms, and he's getting all worked up over some little thing. So the adult gets all worked up, you know, over a baseball game or a football game, and people are standing, you know, like you read the newspaper, you have like in a little league some father like shoots everybody in the other team because he's upset because, like, you know, his kid was struck out or something, whatever. You know, you read this stuff all the time, people going nuts. Sadly, even in the Frum community, there have been nothing, God forbid, like that, but people losing control of themselves at some silly little basketball game, a little hockey game that means nothing. Except for the children, it means a great deal. Not anywhere as much as it means for the father to be able to say, that's my kid. And you have adults that act like total idiots. So the kids themselves are shocked. They're shocked that the parents could act that way. Over what? Over some ball flying around, or some hockey puck, or whatever they use, you know, going across the room from this, that. Everybody's getting all crazy. That's supposed to be that the children enjoy that. So the children have hisrakshus from the hockey game, or hisrakshus from a basketball game. That was supposed to be for children. But then you see that the parents, all the worst midas come out, screaming and yelling, and there's no Shulchan Aruch, there's no Torah, there's no Rambam, there's nothing. It's just the hisrakshus, I mean this. For shlusim havalim. That's all. And the parent could say all kinds of fancy things. It's not, I don't care about theirs. I don't care about the game. But I care about how my child was hurt. That hurt my child. The kids said, I'm all right now. I care about how the child, my child was hurt. My child was called out at third. My child was scarred by that, you know. V'chahena, all kinds of shlusim and havon that people have in Israq Yisrael, that people get excited about and get angry about. So it's a problem. From the time they were in the world, we have Yisrak Shishim, Shtusim, and Havalim. And then the Baruch Shalom says, I want you to stop really having Yisrak Shishim and that stuff. I'd rather you have a Yisrak Shishim from Shachris, you know, from Mincham Arv. I'd rather you have a Yisrak Shishim when you make a Shahakal, a Bari Pi Hadam, have a Yisrak Shishim from benching, have a Yisrak Shishim from learning. And all your younger years were just a way to train yourself to be a person who's a Bal Nefesh. You're a Bal Nefesh. You're an emotional person. How do you use those emotions as you grow older? How is your nefesh, how do you taste the taste of your soul as you get older? Do you still taste it with shlusim havolim, with silly things? Or are you able now to taste soulfulness in diving and learning? That's the question. And therefore there's such a danger when there's a pegam hamidus, when a person's midus apgumim means that the person gets angry over shlusim and havolim, gets angry over an arishkeit. There is such a thing, although it's rare, there is such a thing where anger could even itself be something which is constructive. Well, that's why I'm saying, even though there is such a thing as constructive anger, the Baal Shem Tov said, better not to get into that parasha. You know, it's better never to get angry at all. There is such a thing as constructive anger, but it's so hard to come to that, it's so hard to use it for that, that generally the tzaddikim said, don't start with anger at all. The other meat is the... That we know, like for instance, Gaiva, the Yigbaliba B'Dakei Hashem, that a person should be proud of his Yiddishkeit and how to use that. That the Tzaddikim were very, very comfortable in directing us in how to use the Midah of Gavus Halev, of pride, of conceit, how to use that in holiness. Anger, they said, don't bother with that. That's only big Tzaddikim can do such a thing. Mostly, you cross the lines. In other words, when you're angry and you think that you're angry about something, you know, holy, mostly it just ends up that you're, you know, just... It's just an havalim, and you act like an idiot, you know. Mostly, by the end of the big holy thing, you know, you're acting like an idiot. So, there's a tremendous danger when there's a kilkel in midas, because the nefesh is misragish, but it's misragish over shtusim havalim, over silly things. Shtusim havalim chalokim minavshav hagluyim pogam. So therefore. It's not that you were just pygame in a maisa that you did something you shouldn't do. That's, of course, terrible. But when it comes to pegam hamidus, it's an assault on a person's nefesh that's mezgal in a very serious way. In other words, a Jew has the capacity to feel, to emote in the most amazing way. And the Baruch Shalom wants us to have that kayach, to serve him. And when the person takes, let's say, the midah of ahava, or the midah of kaz, whatever, and he takes that and he schleps it and he drags it into some narishkeit, he drags it into the, you know, into the hockey game, or he drags it, you know, he's standing with other, you know, grown men, you know, It's some Super Bowl, you know, extravaganza, yelling and screaming and jumping, you know, with excitement. So the Rebbe Shalom is saying, you dragged. This is not a question of a maisa. There's nothing particularly wrong with. Well, I mean, it's not so posh, but let's say there is nothing so terribly wrong with watching, you know, grown men jumping at each other in their, you know, in their tights and their pajamas. If there is nothing so terribly wrong with me, it could be. It's not so posh. There's nothing wrong. But that's one thing. But then, and to, you know, to see who can get the ball. But to get all like worked up over it, and to buy magazines, and to read newspapers, to hang up pictures, and to think about it, and to go and to be mapped with carbonus, like you have people that they go to the parking lot, you know, like, and they take out 5 degrees, they take out barbecues, they start grilling.
3 hours before the game starts.
Yeah, I don't remember that when I was a kid.
Yeah,
they had that when we were children. I don't remember that. But anyway, but now. Now it's like the guys told me that they build bummus and they make carbonus in the parking lot like at the stadium. They're bringing the zvachim Miller's this and Heineken, whatever, they're making all kind of and the Sochim and Zrochim. So it's an amazing thing. Against Avoid over the Hachanis, to make all the Hachanis. And the people come with certain, like, you know, banners and all kinds of Hachanis. So it's understand that a person is taking the most precious part of who he is. But he has a koich of his rakshas, and his rakshas is dragged into the parking lot of, you know, of the Meadowlands or something. I don't know if they still play there. I don't know. The last football game I was at was Shea Stadium, so I don't know what's doing since Joe Namath and Maynard and those guys. But to drag the nefesh into such a place, that's a horrible pgam. It's a horrible pgam. Even though it's not nevera per se. Is it nevera to make a barbecue someplace in New Jersey? It might be nevera to be in New Jersey altogether. I haven't worked that out yet. But, I'm just kidding. But is it a nevera? Is it nevera to? It's not nevera to. What's nevera to put up a couple of hot dogs and a steak in a parking lot? It's not nevera.
Nothing.
Huh?
Nothing.
That's for sure not talking about nevera. But Fleischig is not nevera. It's not nevera. But it could be that in terms of the nefesh and what you're doing to the nefesh, what are you saying? What are you doing with the nefesh? What does it mean that you're making hachanis and you're standing outside in the cold and you're working up the grill and all in honor of what? In honor of what? Covered what? I mean, so a person's hishrakshus is schlepped into such shlus and havalim. And it's scary because that's a hezgalas hanefesh. The guy, when you're standing there and you're flipping the burgers in the parking lot, that's the nefesh that's flipping the burger. It's not stama ma'isa. It's a pachad. That you're all worked up for such a thing. It's a pachad. So he says, "Shemachriach esam bal korchem ledvam shtusam atchemargalasam reishisam shemeatzam yisrakshi b'srakshi shveils." What happens? Since you don't stop, I mean, little children get excited about all kinds of little things, but as you grow up, your moyach is supposed to be shelot ahaleg, you're supposed to be a bal seichel, and you're supposed to be bal avayda, and a bal avayda, which is what this whole sefer is going to be about, how to be margal ourselves to have a hisrakshus only for holy things. But if you don't do that, then what happens is that, he says, you become a creature of this habit. Of what? That from the beginning of your life, you haven't stopped having Yisrakshis from Dvarm Shvelim. As children, Yisrakshis is just for silly things. But then the stakes get higher. And you start having Yisrakshis from things that are forbidden. From Yisrakshis Shvelis. Yisrakshis Shvelis. From having Yisrakshis over low things. Over low things. You know, a movie. That's already not. Now we're going beyond little toy boats and soldiers and so on. Like a little kid, you get him a toy, he gets excited. Now as an adult, he's getting excited over the latest movie. He sits down there with the. He also makes a chonis. He gets the newspaper and he has to look up and he has to see and then he to hear what the critics have to say. Exhilarating. I remember years ago, maybe you remember this. You remember there was a Michigan of Monty Python Gedenkst? I don't know if he's still alive, I don't know whatever that was. But that was a crazy, crazy show. He's crazy. But I remember once, years ago, they had a movie, and it had in the newspaper, the critic, it had breathtaking, exhilarating, haunting, like all these like different, and then, usually it tells you, like New York Times, right? Or it says the guy. It said Rosé's Thesaurus. It just had like different words. Thesaurus. So the person has a whole hisrakshus. He looks in the newspaper. He wants to see what the Chazal say about this movie. What the Chazal say? He wants to get advanced on the, you know. And he looks and he sees all the Chazal say such gewaldige things about this movie. He makes hachanis and he's getting all excited. And also they walk into the theater again. I Baruch Hashem haven't been in many, many years. I don't know, but you make the hachanis and you stand on, and there's a certain quiet awe as you're walking in, like you're walking into a temple. And then you stand on line to get some nash, and it's hisrakshus during the movie, ups and downs, and happy and scared and afraid and sad. And people are. I remember it was once with my sister at some maybe it was that movie Love Story, I don't know, it was some movie, and like, you know, everybody was dying. People were in love and they were dying. That's like, that happens, that's the theme in most of these things. And my sister was like howling like a nut. And I got so embarrassed, I moved my seat. I remember she was going crazy. I said, I'm getting out of here. I just, you know, I walked around to go somewhere else because she was carrying on like that. And that gets you to, so it's a hisraksha's from what? Think about it. It's a hisraksha's from nothing. From a bunch of people making a lot of money off of your crying. Standing, like people standing in front of cameras. Who mock you and make fun of you and laugh at your stupidity of buying their movie, and it's a $1 billion business, and the people are having hisraksha's, and the people are sitting in the studio someplace in Hollywood or wherever it is, and they're writing a thing in the script and they say, okay, here's what we're going to make, Weininger cry, here's what we're going to make Weininger laugh, here's what we're going to make this person, we're going to write over here now, and now we're going to give this person a taiva. Now we're going to make this person have a taiva. Millions of Americans are going to have a taiva, and they write into the script how they're going to get all the Americans now to have taivas. And they're writing it down on the paper. It says it like they have a certain page, and they put over the, on top of the page, they write taiva time on top of the page. And then millions and millions of people get crazy taivas. They go there, and they pay money, they sit down, and they'll taiva. Now we're going to get people, we're going to get people happy, and get people sad, and they write it into the paper. Is there anything as tragic as that? It's not the Rebbeinu Shalom that's telling you how to have his fractures. But there's some maneuver that's writing on a piece of paper or typing on his computer telling you when you're going to have his fractures. He's telling you now you're going to cry. He's telling you now you're going to live. Is there anything that's more tragic than that? It's the Rebbe saying. There's his Galus HaNefesh. And who's writing the instructions of when you're going to have his Galus HaNefesh? Not the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave us, the Rebbeinu Shalom said that when you're making your bracha, you should have his instructions. He wrote the script. The Rebbeinu Shalom wrote a script, and it says, you know, like when the, like in the play, in the script, it says, you know, here you're supposed to laugh or something. You know, tells you like what to do. So Rebbeinu Shalom said that when you make a, he wrote in his script that when you make a bruch, it should be with the hisraksha's. And that, forget it. The Rebbeinu Shalom script, but some maneuver writes a script in Hollywood, and he says, here you're going to live, and then millions and millions of people, including people who are Bali Seichel, millions of people, they go there, and they live. Because what? Because the maneuver wrote on the paper, live. So everybody's laughing. And you remember in the television shows, they have like those laugh tracks, you know, those crazy. So it's just a machine that's laughing to get you to laugh. And then if you think about it, it's the craziest thing. You're watching some, you know, half hour show, and there's somebody that's sitting around in the thing, they're playing with the machines, and then they press a button, everybody goes, ah, and then you go, ha, 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 it makes you laugh too. Like in Michigan. And there's a hergel of his hisraksha's. There's a hergel that a person has to have his hisraksha's from dvarim, from shtusim, and then even God forbid from things that are dvarim from shvelim, from low things. God forbid. It all depends what the guy writes in the script. So then, if it's PG, so then he's then they're saying, this hisraksha's is going to be from something that's mildly disgusting. If it's R, then they're saying, we want you to have hisraksha's from things that are much more disgusting than Emeladabra. Right? But even if it's G, so it's going to be like, you know, 101 Dalmatians. So then we're going to have you have a hisraksha's from a bunch of dogs running around in your life on the screen. Dogs escaping from, you know, Cruella. So now we're going to write down on the script. Now you're going to have you worried about whether or not some imaginary dog is going to be free or is going to be captured. It's going to be in Mitzrayim or in Eretz Yisrael. This imaginary dog, and they write into the script. I mean, I'm being so graphic about it because a person has to think a little bit of this. This is what it means. This is what the Rebbe is saying. A pagam in midas, where your nefesh. I'm talking about now the most harmless thing in the world is whether this dog is like a matzliach or not matzliach, right? It's the most harmless thing in the world, and the person has the nefesh gets involved in whether or not you know spot is matzliach or not matzliach. The nefesh gets involved in such an undertaking. It's crazy. And who's writing the script? It's a pachim. So even something that everybody says, what's wrong with that movie? What's wrong with that? Oh, it's a harmless movie. Again, is there anything wrong with making a barbecue in the parking lot? No, per se. If you were driving someplace and you hadn't eaten in a long time and the kids are hungry and you go, what are we going to do? So you have a grill in the back and you pull over to someplace in the parking lot and you put up supper for the kids. You did a big mitzvah. But Hashem loves you. You prepared supper for your children. So that guy's putting up hot dogs and flipping hamburgers and the Baruch Shalom says, like, gewaldige mitzvah, you're feeding your family. There's nothing wrong per se with so a person says, what's wrong with 101 Dalmatians? Now until now we thought he's only talking about bad movies. Now he's attacking something sacred, Walt Disney. I know that's Walt Disney. But Lion King, grace, Beauty and the Beast. What's wrong? So how do you explain? You can't talk about it when a person doesn't learn the inyan of what it means in nefesh. It's not the material, necessarily, although you could argue on that. That's not the point. Just like it's not the material of the hamburgers or the hot dogs. It's not the material. It's not supper that's a problem. It's what gets you excited. It's where your nefesh finds itself. When is your nefesh misoira? That's the problem. And that problem, that's across the board. It makes no difference whether it's this movie or that movie. You're crying because of something that's still some havalim. But how do you explain that? Like, how's a kid supposed to say to the parent? Like, a kid comes back from yeshiva and doesn't want to go to the movies, and the parents say, they made you crazy? How come you can't go to the movie? And if the kid says, how come you don't want to go to shul? How come you daven shachris at home every day? But kaishi, you put in your tefillin, you take them off, 5 minutes later. But you can't understand that. I don't want to go to the movie. I'm trying to have hisraxes from film. You have hisraxes from watching harmless movies. I'm not saying, God forbid, you go to see harmful movies or going to harmless movies. That's what Derby's talking about. That the gam and mida, it's much more dangerous. That you continue along this line since you're a little kid. You have hisraxes from silliness, and now your hisraxes come from silliness, but the stillness is increasing in date. It's become moving from G to PG to R and so on. It's getting more dangerous as the years go by. Where now, when you were a kid, you loved things that were harmless. Now you love things that are harmful. The stakes are much higher. But from the beginning, you were used to loving silliness. You loved silly things. You loved small and significant things. So as a child, it's perfectly normal to love the toys and to love, whatever. As you get older, that midah of ahava, which is the most precious midah, that midah of ahava is now being used in the service of things that are God forbid harmful. So it used to be that a kid was a kid, 13, 14, 15, now Every 13-year-old is already dreaming of having a girlfriend. 13-year-olds already want to have girlfriends. You look at some of these sweet little boys. You could sit outside the yeshiva when they're leaving yeshiva, and everyone's a malach. It's true, but they're malachim that are in trouble. They're malachim like the nephilim, that fell down to earth, and they're looking for trouble. Not in the beginning. They just want to be able to. They heard that loving somebody and being loved is a gewaldige thing, and they're trying to find that. They don't know they don't know that they're just beginning their career of getting into trouble. But they want the ahava, and the ahava, and the ahava, it's a very powerful drive. And they're looking around for that. From the time that little kids now used to be 16, 17, 18, 13-year-old kids. They're already dreaming of these things. They're talking about these things. They're listening in the music. Parents give their children. They think it's harmful and harmless entertainment. The kids are listening to all kinds of music, and the music is all about the darkest things. And even if it's about lichtige things, meaning ahava, which is something beautiful, but ahava for what? Loving what? Loving who? So you get these little teeny bopper girls that are 12 years old, and they're listening to music about about boys and girls and romance. They're reading books about these things, and they're having a whole hisrachus of it. So And there's a whole hisrachus over what? There's a hisrachus of ahava. That's what the Rebbe is saying. That there's ahava l'dvarim nemuchim. That the person's ahava, he's so used to having an ahava for his ahava to be agitated by external things, and the nefesh is exposed. But now the ahava is for what? The ahava is for dvarim shvelim, for low things. And you have these dumb parents that say, oh, it's so cute. Isn't that cute? Look at that. It's such a cute thing. My little 13-year-old with the next door neighbor's little 12-year-old, that's so cute. That's not cute. That's very dangerous. That's not the Ratzon Hashem. That's not Hashem's script. That's not cute. I don't find that cute at all. When you have a 13-year-old with his little 12-year-old girlfriend dreaming big dreams. That's not cute. That's scary. That's exactly what the Rebbe says. This little boy and girl, you can make him 17 and 16, whatever you like. They're not ready for marriage. That little boy and girl that are having their romance, they're like malachim that have fallen from the highest place into the lowest place. At the beginning of Torah, the Nephilim. Means falling from a high place to a low place. It's a scary thing. The mid of ahava, that hergish of ahava, his srachus of ahava is an unbelievable thing. It comes from the mid of chesed. Chesed is the highest of the seven spheres. Of those seven spheres is chesed. It's a malach. It's a koyach elyon. It's a divine koyach of ahava. And like a malach that's slammed into the ground, thrown into the ground. Became damaged by being in this world. You can explain, you might want to explain this in a very simple way and say like this. Ripulas asiya, when it comes to just physically doing certain things, carrying out certain things that we have to do and avoiding things that we're not allowed to do, ripulas asiya, ein chelik menefesh nirgesh leish. When you're just doing things that you have to do, so then, chelik menefesh, you don't feel really a part of the nefesh. Obviously, when it comes to the midas, you misvagish yaisa. There's more of an excitement. Why? But you might say, why is that? Well, you would say a very simple thing. You say the pshat is like this. Asiya, of course, all physical actions, plain physical things, whatever you're doing, your job, doing things. Is connected to Malchus. Malchus is the lowest of the spheres, right? Means the Olam Hasiyah. Asiyah Sheba Asiyah. Malchus Sheba Malchus. Means taking this and moving like this. And if I get a job in the factory, that means that I move 1,000 of these boxes, you know, an hour, right? But that's Asiyah Sheba Asiyah. So a person understands that the Shoresh of Malchus is lower than the Shoresh of what? Of Chesed. Right? The Mida of love. Chesed comes; it's the highest of those seven spheres. I'm not talking about Chabad. I'm talking about Chesed Gvur Tvesna. It's the highest of those spheres, right? It's Chesed. That's a Hava. That's a Malach. It's a big thing. But doing something that's Malchus Shabbat Malchus. That's the lowest of the Midas. I mean, that's the lowest of the spheres, right? So one would say that the reason. For the hisrach, the reason that when it comes to ahava, I have such a hisrachus, amida is hisrachus, but when it comes to asiya, I don't have hisrachus. The reason for that is because we understand that ahava comes from the midas of chesed. Chesed is the highest of those spheres. Moving boxes or whatever it is, doing wrapping straps around my arm, that comes from asiya shabasiya. That's malchus, shabamalchus. And the shurish of that is from a much lower place than the Eilamis in the world. The shurish of that is from a lower place that it's coming from. Therefore, there's only a small chelik of my nefesh that is revealed by doing physical things. A small chelik of my nefesh. As opposed to ahava, or kas, anger, and so on. When it comes to physical things, there's only a small exertion where the nefesh is only revealed in a comparably smaller way. Adilti l'sragish, to the point that a person can just move these boxes around all day without feeling anything, or could put on tefillin without thinking about feeling anything. It's just a physical thing. Ubahamidis shesharsh n'yoysa gavaya, the midas, however, the shirish, the root of midas, we understand, is much higher. The root of midas comes from a higher place on that hierarchy of midas, of spheres. A midas comes from a higher place. Since Amida is more spiritual, because its root and source is on a higher level in the spiritual hierarchy of worlds, so therefore we understand that there's more of its rakshas when it comes to those things. Therefore, since there's a larger chelik of the nefesh that's revealed, therefore you feel it more. You're more excited. You have more of its rakshas. Omnam kainhu, of course that's true. The Rebbe's not arguing that, of course that's true. Ava mikol mokum, nevertheless, the Rebbe says, one has to understand. Lama eno margish mu'uma basiyasa. Still one has to ask, how is it possible to do things without feeling anything? Even something like davening. Where you're moving your mouth, right? We're not talking about just lifting up boxes. But even davening, how is it possible to do something, or putting on tefillin, how is it possible to do something? Sof kol sof malchus is still one of the spheres. Sof kol sof malchus, the body is still something of a Jew, is holy. And a physical act, especially if it's an act of holiness, is a significant thing. And yet, it could be done without any esrachus at all. I remember standing in shul when I was a kid, once in this place that we live, which I didn't usually daven in, but the guys, you know, used to hang out over there. And it was Mincha Shabbos, and we were a couple of guys standing around, and we didn't remember if anybody leaned yet. We didn't know if anybody leaned. We weren't sure if they're putting the Sefer Torah, taking it out, we weren't sure. How could that be? We didn't know. We weren't sure. If you would have asked, like, you know, what happened, we weren't sure what was happening. We saw there was a Sefer Torah, we weren't sure whether it was coming or going. It's a pachad. How does that happen? Yeah.
Because at the same time that you're not involved in the tefillin or the davening, whatever, you are involved in the higher sphere and something else, which is sidetracking.
Lav davka. That's often true, but not Mike. You could be just doing something mechanically. Without it's not like, you know, you have your heart and your soul is invested in something else. You're just going through the motions. Happens. But you're right. Certainly, the person is having his rakshas for something else, and it's conflicting with the present thing, so we understand. But the Rebbe says, "Oh, nam kainu, when we come, lo meinu magish mu'umu basiya, so afil b'shosha asa avoida v'koyen godol." Now, let's say a person is using a lot of kaiches, physical kaiches, to do. He's using a lot of kaiches to move some heavy stuff, and he's putting a mamish working hard. When you invest a lot of kaiches into something, it's a big thing. Halasof kalsof mezgalu b'chelik hanefesh. There's a chiluk nefesh. Even on the most basic level, to schlep something very, very heavy requires gevurah, and it's not just physical gevurah. You have to be determined to want to paint the whole house. You have to be determined to want to move everything today from here to. It requires a certain amount of gevurah and a certain. But you don't feel anything, except tired or whatever. When it comes to Yisrakshus Hamidus, when the Midus are Yisrakshus, then even if it's Yisrakshus Kolshu, Kvamargish, even if it's a small thing, you ready? You ready? Amargish, Odzois. It was just to say, just to answer by saying that the reason that I have of Yisrakshis, that I have Yisrakshis for Midas and I don't have Yisrakshis from Asiyah, from doing things, is because the Midas come from a higher place and the Asiyahs come from a lower place is not enough. It's not enough of an answer, an explanation. You could say by pulas asiyah. From ananav pulas achushim. Okay, let's say we're not talking about just lifting up boxes all day. Hatenach. That from lifting boxes or from moving pianos, hatenach, that you don't have any kind of instructions from doing that. You don't feel anything. You do it without any feelings. But what about when it comes to the chushim, when it comes to things of seeing and hearing, the achush, meaning what, which we were talking about until now, the last few weeks, when it comes to seeing and hearing one of the senses, that's already on that comes from a higher shayrish. In other words, seeing something, using your eyes, seeing something and interpreting that which you see comes from a much higher place than moving something physically, right? Seeing something is a higher thing. And we know that's true when it comes to the spheres. Shayrish amidus ubishem mem hei. We're not going to go into the Shemus of Hashem. I'm not going to even explain. These are different ways that we add the gematria of Yudke Vavke and how it's spelled out, either Mala or Chos. That's not for now. But the point is that Re'ia, seeing something in the Olamus, comes from a higher place than even from Midas. Samach Gimel, which is even higher. Hearing something, smelling something, the Sherish. Our ability to smell or our ability to hear comes from a higher shayrish than the midas, than ahava and yira. To hear something and to smell something, it reaches back to something even higher in the ilamas. Forget about what that is. Don't worry about it. That's not for us. But it comes from a higher shayrish. And don't try to look that up, you're not going to understand it anyway. Rak kanal b'sherish en yonim hukach. U'mikol mokom b'pulus ha'ish ba'asiyah v'chushim gam chelik nafshim mezgalim nishar estuma. You could see something, and you don't have, and when you see something, it comes from a very high sherish. When you hear something, it's a very high thing. You don't have any instructions at all. But when it comes to Amidus, when it comes to Srakshus Amidus, Ahav and Yira, when you're afraid of something, or you're happy about something, there's a Gevaldig Srakshus. More of Srakshus than when it comes to hearing something or seeing something. There's something that's taking place, and you think about somebody that you love, there's a Gevaldig Srakshus, more than seeing something or hearing something, which comes from the Chushim, which comes from a higher Sharish than. Than the Midas. Umeata Hayim Evshul Asharis Agadlus Ashayagi Hadam Lo Bagdisha Yes Midasev. Without learning on a level of Kabbalah, even in Kabbalah to understand, is it possible for us to even then to imagine the godless that a person can reach, the greatness a person can reach, when what? When he's Makdish his Midas. When what? When he brings his shrakshias, when he draws his midas into what? Into avodas Hashem, into holiness. When his nefesh is drawn into holiness. Ukshakol avodasul Hashem tehebis shrakshias. When his davening, when his physical act of putting on a pair of tefillin, which is just a physical thing, wrapping this on your head and your arm, when that itself is his shrakshias. It's nafshu megala b'avayda. You're engaging your nefesh in avayda. The guy that's making the grill before the giant came is engaging his nefesh in shtus v'havala. Or even worse, dvarm shvelim. And when you're able to bring his srakshus into tefillin, imagine his srakshus that a person has when they're going on a well-deserved vacation. They always use that term, well-deserved. It's not so posh that it's well deserved, but let's say it's well deserved. So a person the whole year also is so excited, and then when he goes so excited, but to put on a pair of tefillin, no instructions. How can we learn? Now we know we're capable of instructions because you feel the instructions from million things. We're not lifeless, God forbid. emotionless people. We have koyach of hisrakshus. How do we learn to experience hisrakshus when putting on tefillin? How do we learn to experience hisrakshus in the oven? How do we have hisrakshus and learning? And when I say in learning, I don't mean because it's intellectual, it's exciting, which is very often confusing. I'm talking about hisrakshus and learning because you're learning the Dvar Hashem, not because this is a smart thing and you're able to like slug this guy up. Huh? What do you say about that, huh? And the guy says, oh, gee, I don't know. I'm not talking about that, like, in that competition, which is a healthy competition. It's a good competition. I'm not talking about intellectual zah. That your hisrakshus comes from learning Teres Hashem. And you have hisrakshus. Like, you get, like the Kedushas Levi, that he couldn't go to sleep the night of Yisrucha because he didn't put on tefillin the whole week, right? And he couldn't fall asleep, and he was waiting the whole time to be the first second that he could put on tefillin. And then he cut himself. Because the tefillin was sitting inside the Yisrucha thing. There was a glass there, and the Baditcha ran over, and he put his hand in to get the tefillin. He cut his hand. It had to come. It was bleeding all over the place, and Baditcha was holding, standing there with his tefillin bleeding all over the floor. So we looked at it, we say, oh boy, that's crazy. But the guy standing there in his gachkas in the Meadowlands, flipping a burger, he's normal. And he couldn't sleep the whole night. We have people when they announce when the tickets go on sale, right? For the World Series, when they go on sale, and then they come. They start coming there, right? And they're lining up, and they sleep there, and they're camping out to get tickets. That's not crazy. We once, when we were kids, my mother wanted to go. We wanted to go to the city, to Radio City. My father's very good natured. He'd always take us, so we wanted to go to the Radio City. And we got to Radio City. It was this time of the year. We got to Radio City, and there was a line all around the block. And my father said, what is this here? What's everybody... So he said, Daddy, you have to stand in line. My father said, we're not going. So my mother is used to just, listening. But the kids, like we said, we were looking forward, we were all excited about this movie. My father said, I'm not standing in line to this. I'm b'shumayf not standing in line. That I'm taking you and I don't want to disappoint you, we'll go someplace else where there's no line. But he said, well, we want to see this movie. There's no difference, my father. What's the difference? It's a different movie. You're not standing in line to go to that. It's a behemoth. What am I, an animal? Standing like they stand there, waiting for shechita. That's why I'm standing in line. Shumai for not. I'm not standing in line. There's only so low I'm willing to go to entertain my children. He didn't say those words, but that's my. He doesn't talk about it, but that's what it is. Am I crazy? These are Jews that knew how to stand on line. They stood on plenty of lines in their lives. And he's not standing in line to go into a movie. That b'shum oifen not. But he'll drive around, even Kanayin Harid in old age, he'll drive around, to help somebody. He'll do that for 5 hours. But I'm not standing in line for entertainment. So this is the cheshbon of a person's hisrakshus. And how to train ourselves that the hisrakshus should be for kedusha, where the nefesh is being brought into the world of kedusha. We'll have to do this paragraph because we'll have to stop.